We coached the women's program for a couple of years. So here's how that went. We, in 2 years, won one game, we tied one game, and we lost every other game that we played. It was a smashing success, let me tell you, after 2 years. And so they moved us to the men's program, and so we started coaching the men's program. And we had a great time coaching the men's program. One of our traditions was, of course, our preseason camp. The players would show up before the semester started, and we would do 3 days, early morning conditioning and drills, late morning, scrimmage in the afternoon. One of the conditioning drills that we would do is we would have them line up on the north side of the multi-purpose building, and they would do hill sprints, back and forth, hill sprints. And then we would have them do wall squats. How many of you have done a wall squat before? It's a painful experience, right? You just sit midair, back against the wall for an extended period of time, and it becomes more and more excruciating the longer that you do it. So the players started to develop a habit to make the time go by a little bit faster. They would start singing in the middle of these wall sits. And it was not so much singing as much as it was screaming and yelling and chanting through it all. One of their favorite ones went something like this. I am no John Carer, okay? I promise. I really can't play the piano or sing, so participate if you know it, right? It's an old camp song, and it went something like this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Okay, everybody stand up. Let's do that together. That's what we would do. That was the chant. In a wall squat position, everybody. I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that, all right? They would chant all together. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 You may be seated. Yeah. And you're thinking right now, no, he really can't sing. That's true. That's actually true. He means it when he says that. You know, there was something about that experience that has stuck with me all these years, because I think it reminds me that when it comes to the joy of the Lord, there is a grittiness to it. There is a willfulness to it. There is a determination to it. Or as my foundations class said a couple of weeks ago, the joy of the Lord is inevitable. It's not something that we experience because of our circumstances. It's experienced in the midst of our circumstances, and oftentimes is experienced despite our circumstances. In fact, those words that those players chanted is actually from Scripture. It's found in the book of Nehemiah, and you'll remember the context of Nehemiah is really one of great difficulty and strife and toil. Their enemies are surrounding them. It's a difficult season for them. And Nehemiah, in the midst of it, says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. But I recognize that sometimes life's circumstances can make it very difficult for us to fully experience the joy of the Lord. What are we on, week 5 right now? Is that where we are? Over a quarter of the way done? I guess that's reason to celebrate. I don't know, but I know that life can be difficult. Circumstances can be trying. But I want us to be reminded of Paul's commands to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's say those words together out loud. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. So here's my dominant thought, my main idea today, very simple. God longs for his children to be full of joy. God longs for you, his children, his people, to be full of his joyfulness. God wants us to be a joyful people, and the good news I have for you today is it is possible. God has given us all that we need to be joyful always, despite the circumstances, challenges, and hardships that surround us. Those things cannot steal the joy that is ours in the Lord. And all I simply want to do this morning is mark out for you three reasons why we, in fact, can be joyful always. First, the first reason we can be full of joy is because God is full of joy. Everyone say, God is full of joy. He is. God is a joyful God. It all starts with Him. And I love it that the chapel planning committee, in all of their foresight and wisdom, identified the joyfulness of God as an attribute for us to take seriously this morning, which is not always done. We often talk about our joy, that we need to choose joy, but we don't often think about our joy in the context of God's joyfulness. For example, one of my favorite books over the years is A.W. Tozer's The Knowledge of the Holy. And I've read this book several times, and in it he marks out several attributes of God and meditates upon those attributes. He writes about the omniscience of God, the wisdom of God, the omnipotence of God, transcendence, omnipresence, faithfulness, goodness, justice, mercy, grace, love, holiness, sovereignty of God. Did you notice which one I didn't mention? Not even Tozer recognizes, in his book at least, the joy of God, the joyfulness of God. But not the OCC Chapel Planning Committee. They did what Tozer didn't do. Props to them. Let's give it up to the OCC Chapel Planning Committee. Good job to them. As C.S. Lewis once wrote, joy is the serious business of heaven. Our joy is possible because our God is a joyful God. Isaiah 62:5, as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Zephaniah 3, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And his son, who is the exact representation of his father, said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This past Christmas at our church, I had the privilege of preaching on joy in the middle of a Christmas series. And so I used the classic book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, as an illustration. Right? You're familiar with this book written by Theodore Geisel, aka Dr. Seuss, wrote it in 1957. He so identified with the Grinch that after the book was published, he could be seen driving around town in his car with a license plate that spelled out the word Grinch. Dr. Seuss is the Grinch. All of us, from time to time, allow our inner Grinch to steal the joy that is ours in the Lord, to allow circumstances to determine our outlook. So in preparation for that sermon, I came across these pictures. It seems that some parents found it amusing to hire a photographer and to hire a Grinch and to scare their children in the midst of the photography sessions. Here's the outcome. Here's the first picture. I mean, you can just see the sheer delight on the mother's face, watching her children in terror. Here's the second one. Oh, my. Yeah, that's not. Yeah. Here's the third one. Okay, here she is, so sweet, serene, calm, and then here he comes. I don't know if it's funny or cruel. It's probably the latter. One person commented, I see therapy in the future for these kids, which is probably true. Jesus describes our enemy, the devil, as a thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He does not want you to experience the joy of the Lord, but Jesus has come that we may have life and experience it to the fullest. And that full life of joy is found in God Himself. So be reminded this morning that God longs for His children who are created in His image to be full of His joy, and it's possible because of who He is. Second reason we can be full of joy is because God is fully present. Go ahead and look at your neighbor right now and say, God is fully present. The joy of the Lord is the continual, ongoing presence of God. And that presence of God is not just around us, but that presence of God is within us, a wellspring of life that never runs dry. And so if you ever find yourself absent of joy, if you ever just notice that there's an absence of joy in your life, then go where the presence of God is. Open up your Bible early in the morning and just read from the Gospels. Observe God in the beauty of his creation. Practice the discipline of continual prayer in the middle of a busy day. Engage in a life-giving, transformative conversation with a fellow believer. Because our circumstances may fail us, but his presence will never leave us. Wherever God is, joy can be found. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And that joy, that presence is within us. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. For this reason, we can rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And the reason why we can rejoice in the Lord always is because the Lord is near. Now, I don't know if you've seen these Ring doorbell videos. You guys know what I'm talking about, the Ring doorbells. And so if you go on YouTube, there's a whole series of these videos of planned and unplanned things that happen on people's front porches. So here's one of a young boy whose father is serving overseas in the military, and he finds a creative way to connect with his father.
Turn on the kid channel in the house?
Yeah, I'm over here by myself because Mom led me.
Where's your mom at? You're not supposed to be home alone.
She's at Courtney's with Alex, and I wanted to go home, and she said I could come here and turn on the kid channel.
Okay, yeah, well, you just gotta press the power button on the side of the TV. You know how to do that, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what channel to get on to get kid channel on.
Oh, man, I think the kid channel is channel maybe like 25.
I don't know what 25 looks like.
Get the remote. Get the remote. Get the remote for the TV and then press the number 2 and the number 5 when you point it at the TV. That should work for you. He's not a chair.
Okay, bye-bye. I'll give you one more kiss.
Okay, one more kiss. Okay. Thank you, buddy. I love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
But the truth is, for all of us, whenever we're going through difficult times, we all need that reminder that we're not alone, that we're not doing this alone. We have each other, certainly, but ultimately we have the Lord. He is present. And just on a practical note, I don't know if this is true for you. It's often true for me, but whenever I found myself allowing circumstances to steal the joy that is rightfully mine in the Lord, I find that a good night's sleep is often what I need. As my old mentor used to say, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Can I get an oh yeah on that? And you know, it's not so much the sleep itself that restores the joy within us, it's the waking up, and it's the being reminded that God is with us, that he is present. Now, how many of you, just be real honest, how many of you would consider yourself a morning person? Go ahead and just admit it. Just say it out loud. Admit it. Raise your hand. All right, look around. It's okay. Just know we don't like you very much. I mean, we don't like you. We're happy for you. But the rest of us are like that meme that reads, I don't like morning people or mornings or people, right? But as followers of Jesus, we are all morning people. Each day is a fresh start. Each day is a new beginning. Each morning, we can be reminded, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. Why? For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. God longs for his children to be full of joy, and that comes by being in the joyful presence of God himself. The third reason we can be full of joy is because God has fully forgiven us. Say to yourself this morning, God has fully forgiven me. Go ahead and say that to yourself. Because at the end of the day, our joy is not dependent upon what we do or what we don't do. It's based upon what Christ has already done for us. His joy is more of a gift than it is a choice. And this is the gospel, that once we had no reason to be joyful, but Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Therefore, when our hearts grow weary, when we feel the burden and the heat of the day, consider him who has done so much for us. Find joy in the gospel that has restored us, renewed us, fixed and forgiven us. I love the way that Kay Warren, this faithful minister of the gospel who has suffered much in her own life, she defined joy, said joy is this. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. His joyful presence fully forgiving us. What more do we need to make the determined choice to praise God in every situation? Now, a chapter when we talk about joy that sometimes gets overlooked is Luke chapter 15, which was referenced a couple of weeks ago. Luke chapter 15, you're familiar with it. Jesus is criticized for associating, for joyfully being in the presence of sinners and tax collectors. He responds to that criticism with a series of parables that you're familiar with. The first one, this unorthodox shepherd who leaves the 99 to go look for the one lost sheep. And Jesus says in the story that when he finds that one lost sheep, he gently lifts it and puts that sheep on his shoulders and carries him back to the pen. Now, I have two little dogs, Barkley and Beckham. Barkley is named after the great basketball player, Sir Charles Barkley, and Beckham is named after the great Manchester United legend, David Beckham. Anybody? Come on. Feel me on that, all right? Barkley and Beckham, little dogs. I feed them. I take care of them. I provide them a home. I pay their vet bills. And they run away. They still run away from me. And so I have to go chase them. And when I find them, let me tell you what I don't do when I find little Barkley. Oh, little Barkley, let me lift you up and put you on my shoulders and carry you back to the house. Like, that does not happen. But that's what this shepherd does. And when he returns with the lost sheep, what does he do? He throws a party. He calls his friends, his neighbors together. Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And then Jesus tells the second story of this woman who has 10 coins and she loses one of them. She searches high and low. She finally finds the one lost coin. And what does she do? She does the same thing that the shepherd did. She throws a party. She invites her friends, her neighbors over. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then you know the third and climactic story that Jesus tells, right? The story of the prodigal son. You've heard it many times before, I'm sure. So let me put it in a little bit of a different context. Years ago, I had the privilege of traveling several times to Mozambique, Africa, to do some teaching there. And one particular trip, we were at a remote village at the base of a mountain at one of the poorest regions in one of the poorest countries in the world. And there were people there who had just received the gospel only a few years prior to our arrival, and they were desperate to hear God's word. And we gathered together in a small church, dirt floor, no electricity, narrow wooden pews. The place was packed right? We were distributing Bibles, doing some Bible teaching. I'm up front of these people teaching through the distinctives of the gospel, talking about Matthew and Mark. And then eventually I get to the gospel of Luke. And I say to these people, I say, you know, Luke, that's where the story of the prodigal son is found. You've heard the story of the prodigal son, right? And they say, no, we've never heard it. I say, you know, the father who had two sons. You've heard that story before. No, we've never heard. Tell us. Tell us the story. It's like, sick them to a Doberman. I mean, this is exciting, right? To tell these people who have never heard the prodigal son this incredible story for the very first time. So I launch in. I say, well, there was a father who had two sons, and the youngest son went to his father and said, Dad, I want my share of the inheritance. To which this audience went, because they recognized the shame and the dishonor that this younger son was bringing upon his family. And so I continued. I said, so he took his newfound wealth and he traveled to a distant land and he squandered it on wild living. Eventually he lost everything and he came to his senses and he made the long journey back home. And when he came into the presence of his father, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father reached back and welcomed his son back into the family, put his robe on his back, his ring on his finger, slaughtered the fattened calf, threw a party, brought the neighbors, family members, and they celebrated. And when I came to that point in the story, the point in the story when the father welcomed the son back into the house, they erupted in celebration. They lifted up to their feet. They started singing and dancing and worshiping and wagging their tongues. La 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 la. I mean, it was like a spontaneous worship service broke out. Teacher, you're done. We've got business to take care of, which is joyfully celebrating the forgiveness and the restoration that we have only in God through his son, Jesus Christ. They so identified with that lost sheep, with that lost coin, with that lost son. For them, there was only one appropriate response: joy on earth as it is in heaven. Let's stand and let's celebrate. Mm-hmm.